Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. This is episode 26 of Art Talk, and today I'm thrilled to introduce you to my mentor, Dr. Libby Hemkaren. I'm very grateful that she found the time in her crazy schedule to be here with me, because I know you will all benefit from what she has to say. So let me introduce Dr. Libby. She loves dogs and cats and recognizes her clients on the faces of the dogs she treated. That immediately explains that she originally is trained as a veterinarian, a surgeon at Cambridge University. And after a car accident, she wasn't able anymore to work as a vet and had to reinvent herself. She studied behavioral neuroscience, is a behavioral psychologist, and apart from a degree in behavior, she is qualified as a flow coach and a peak performance specialist. She knows how to calm your nervous system and rewire your behaviors. Becoming is better than being. Carol S. Dweck. Welcome, Libby. I'm so beyond thrilled that you accepted my invitation for our talk.
So lovely to be here. Thank you for having me. Really pleased to be here.
Thank you. And to jump right in, would you agree with a quote from Dr. Dweck and why?
So. It's such a fascinating quote because it calls to two parts of the equation. There's this amazing ability for us to remain consistent in the way we identify ourselves. Strongest force on the planet. It's not what you think you can do or can't do. It's how you identify yourself that determines whether you do go on to do anything that you're doing. So by saying this becoming is so important, it frees you from that, well, that's not my identity. Because as soon as we start saying something that we can derail with a single thought, we're lost. We're screwed. So if we say something like, I am a millionaire, which is what the law of attraction tells you to do, right? And this is one of the bits they get wrong, and it's a very subtle shift. But as soon as you say something, that alarm goes off in your head. No, you're not. So you can try as much as you like to do all the affirmations in all the world. It will not work unless you understand this fundamental bit of your brain. If you can derail it with a single thought, that ain't going to fly. Your brain has to accept the growth part of it. And that's where the becoming part is so powerful. Mm. Because it allows for you to be on this constant, I'm still evolving, I'm still learning, I'm always reading, I'm always, and I know you do the same, Karen. I know you're always on that path, walking with me and walking with others. It's part of the journey, right? And so I love that quote. I think it's really powerful. So long as you understand what it's saying, it's not saying, don't then step into your identity when you're then ready to hold it energetically. Absolutely. Own that shizzle when you get there. But you've got to let yourself walk that path and understand that you're on a climb.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree totally. By the way, for the listeners, it's a brilliant book, Mindset. Simple title, Mindset.
Yeah. Everything you
need. So, from working with animals to working with people to get them in a state where they can work as they naturally should in the first place. How was this shift for you?
Do you know what's really funny is I've always been a coach, like secretly. I just never used to get paid for it. I just did it for free. So I'd be the listening face, you know, where the strangers talk to you on the tube. And people were always sort of letting me help them walk through life. I just didn't have a name for it. And it genuinely wasn't until I was forced to look at what do I actually do? And what I do is help people solve their own problems, help them get out of their own way, right? And I do it through neuroscience. That's the how. But actually, my job on this planet is to hold people safe while they walk. That's, you know, if I can drill it right down, it's giving people that safe space to do that growth, to do that expansion, to do that energetic shifts that we need to do before we step into a new identity, right? And so that was part of my role as a vet. You know, I'd be holding people safe while we did a difficult put to sleep of a dog they've been with for 16 years. And my job was holding, you know, it's the person that I was actually holding. And I never really looked at it like that until forced to put down my scalpel and say, okay, now what? And that was eye-opening for me. That was a huge revelation. But you can tell, and I don't think you've done my money magnet course, but there's an exercise in it where you say, look around you, look for evidence in your life of what you really give a flying one about. And my bookshelf has always been floor to ceiling, all the books. They're here now. Look, they're all the books. All the books are here. They're just like polyvagal theory, my favourite. Flow, my other favourite. And there's always been this desire in me to learn as much as I could about why people do what they do. And that now is the embodiment in my daily life, which I'm so honoured to do and I love doing.
Great. And I love being with you on that path because, oh my God, it shifted so much. That's why I sit here now.
I see the flow coming over you.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
But coming back to the animals, what can we learn from animals in general and our pets in specific? It must be a connection.
Oh, gosh, it's so fascinating. They don't screw themselves up. We've forgotten this skill. We've forgotten we are human animals and we signal all the time. And the biggest person we signal to is ourselves. And just something as simple as what the clothes you wear. It's a story you're telling yourself, right? That doesn't mean I don't have days where I wake up a depressed two and roll myself up in my duvet. I do that too. We forget what we're allowed to do or not allowed to do, or we let society tell us what we're allowed to do or not allowed to do. And it's a really strong piece to be more natural in what is it that, what do I feel right now? What do I feel into right in this moment? What's the whole body? Yes. You know, what's my body telling me? And this somatic psychology of the bottom up rather than just the cerebral top down way of living is that's very animalistic, but very powerful.
Yeah. And you read it a lot that people who have a cat or a dog or pet in general are way more happy and way more
yes.
healthy.
Yes. So oxytocin release, the bonding hormone. So as soon as we've got an animal bond, the human-animal bond releases this beautiful drug, oxytocin, which is all about connectivity. It's all about this feeling that we're not alone, this feeling that we are sharing this experience. And there's something about that the human body needs. So a good hug for 20 seconds releases oxytocin. But, you know, there's other ways. There's self-soothing. We can self-touch. We can self-pleasure. But animal hugs, just the best. Best and very cheap.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And what triggered the interest in neuroscience and behavioral psychology for you? What's the trigger to do that?
For me, it was like having your eyelids peeled back. Like, you know, it's suddenly seeing the world differently. And it was gobsmacking to me that this stuff isn't taught in schools. You know, this idea that human needs have to be met. And so our behaviors are just a way of meeting those needs. That's it. Like, that's what we're doing on this. And we dress it up and we put on different clothes and we go and work in offices and we, you know, but we have to meet our needs. And I first learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and how that stack works, where if we haven't met the base layer needs, you can't ascend up the pyramid. You slide straight back down. And so you have to be rigorous in, am I getting enough sleep? Am I, you know, otherwise you're not available for any of those higher levels of playing the same game. You just don't get there. Yeah. And so understanding this brain-body connection, yeah, gosh, I mean, that's a long time ago now, isn't it? That's 20 years. But yeah, 2001. And then I've just been walking that path ever since and just deepening my knowledge and getting more specific about which bits of it I find fascinating. Like polyvagal theory is something that's relatively new to the market. And it's very much like a focus of where you put your energy, where you put your intentions, because there's so much to learn. You could be doing it forever.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But that's why becoming is better than being.
Right.
And we have to keep growing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We are currency. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you mostly help entrepreneurs, businesses to get better or in flow with what they do best. To what extent do you draw from your own experiences when you help others? And how do these typically left-brain enterprises react to what you say? Woo-woo!
It's so funny because it's very... There is this sort of split, isn't there, of the science and the woo. And some come round to it a lot more quickly than you'd think that it has merit because of the fact that we have in the last 15 years got the experience to understand that the science that we know, like when we invented functional MRIs, we began to see the blood flow changing in people's brains as they thought different thoughts. And that was eye-opening, because until then it was just theory. It was just like a construct. So this book that I held up earlier is a really good one on this flow. And that's obviously the next course that we're running. And flow state is all about this elevated level of peak performance that you can access. And the reason big companies get me to come in and teach their staff is they know this means money. They know that when you're operating at peak performance, you get better results, like from all of your team, and therefore everyone's more productive, and therefore they don't leave, and they're happier, and they feel valued. You know, one of the biggest pieces that needs to be reminded is that people need to feel valued. And if you're out of flow, if you're working in something that's not your flow state, you don't ever feel that real deep sense of connection with it, and that real integration of mind, body, soul, which is what's so important, is to feel like you're doing something worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. That's why you always have to work from your heart, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right.
And not exactly just, right. Yeah. There's another good book about that, by the way.
Yes.
You first have to be happy and then not work your bum off and do all kind of studies and then try to be happy, because it doesn't work. The psychology of happiness, yeah. It's important, I know.
But people get that so wrong, because they think, when I get there, then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And they play this game with themselves for years. And a lot of people come to me when they've been doing it for millennia in their own businesses and in companies. And they're always telling themselves about the next goalpost. When I hit that, But that comes back to identity. That comes back to this piece on, do you know what? You've got to be true to yourself as you are now. And you are enough now, not when you hit that goal, not when you sell this many pieces of art or hit that target per month or do that. You know, no, now, right? There is only now. That's all we've got. Because our memory of yesterday is just a brain trace that's as amorphous as our prediction of what's going to happen tomorrow. That's also a brain trace. Both are equally, like the brain puts like post-it notes up on the wall and says, this will happen tomorrow, that happened yesterday. But all there is just here in the middle right now.
Yeah. And that is, by the way, so beautiful. I had a dog for a long time. I will get another one and a cat and a donkey. And
but and anyway, a donkey.
but
that's funny.
They are always in the now, and that is also
absolutely
that they keep you in the now. Mm-hmm. And I see sometimes when people, the dog does something or has done something wrong, a minute later doesn't remember that it did something wrong. So it has no, it is completely useless to punish the dog for something.
Something that happened over here. And it's like, what? Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Is we spend a lot of our life living out emotions that are either regret and shame, which is always about past actions, or fear and dread, which is about future, and forgetting this in the middle. Come to the middle. Come to the now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we hear it more and more, by the way, the alignment of mind, body, and soul. Mm. Yet many horribly fail, and many others say they have the secret. I mean, you hear it for, I know, I have the secret, yeah. Can you tell us what it means, mind, body, soul, alignment, and how you help people with that?
Yes. You are always aligned. This is the key point. You just might be aligned to the wrong goal. So alignment is about things lining up. So it's literally this is aligned with this, which is great, unless you want it to be over here, in which case you need to align with something else. So it's about where you're going, not just about where you are now. And this is where the understanding about alignment must be about what you're aligning with, because you already are aligned to your reality of where you are today. To get to that higher level, we have to shift that alignment to be 100% certain that where we're going is going to happen. So we have to start with faith, belief without proof. We have to start with this understanding that there is no proof, but you've got to hold it anyway. And the ability to hold that gap, we call it the gap. So we talk about this difference between your as is, where you are today, and your to be, where you're going. Mm-hmm. And there's a gap between them, right? And I help people close that gap as quickly and as elegantly as possible by getting them into alignment with the belief that this is in existence already.
Yeah.
Because it's only by holding that really solid in the front of your mind. And there's no two ways about this. You can't say, yeah, I'm in alignment. But no. Then you're not in alignment. Come back.
Exactly. Yeah.
There is no but. You're not allowed to. Oh, but I just feel no. Come back. Back to the center zone. Back to the now. Be happy now and know it now is coming now.
Yeah.
Then it starts to work. And exactly. Then the wheels start to turn and then the flow turns on.
Yeah, exactly. And that what you say, it's already there. That is quantum space. That is something that is more and more becoming familiar. Also with Dr. Joe Dispenza, who has done numerous ways
really
of research.
Yes.
Really, he is now doing research with cancer patients and his trained meditation group is helping people who have severe cancer to heal them on a distance with a team of specialists, professor, doctors, who first thought he was woo-woo, but he isn't.
That's exactly it, isn't it?
And what the nice thing is, and that's with you too, it has never been woo-woo. But we are so trained in you have to see before you can believe it. No, you have to